Three, two, one. Thanks for joining us. You are listening to The Reporter on the Air. I'm Will. He's Don. He's Richard. And we are gathered around the table for our weekly chat fest, our weekly gab fest, our weekly solving the problems of Monroe County one person at a time.
Bringing the problems of Monroe County to light.
And challenging you to solve them.
That's right. Now we're smoking. Hey, a good front page. I'm going to the dude on this one, right straight to the dude. Who is this? Robert Lindsay has been named the new athletic director?
Yeah, he's been in the school system a dozen years, I think. He used to be a head football coach down in Florida, so he's pretty well qualified for the job. But I guess the most interesting thing was that our head football coach, Brian Nelson, gave up that job. He said he wanted to have less responsibilities during the day. He was doing a lot of paperwork and attending a lot of meetings in Atlanta and around the region and all that, and he wanted more time to X and O and coach PE and monitor the weightlifting and all that stuff. So.
Yeah.
So I was
who's the boss, the coach or the director?
Well, I think the school superintendent and the principal have just as much influence as the athletic director, if not more. But Lindsay will be more responsible for the behind the scenes.
Okay. I got you. I just thought that was just really interesting.
Yeah, well, Richard, I already got a vent at the reporter about this. People saying Nelson's stepping down as AD. What the heck? You know, buzz. What's going on? Will Nelson still make the same pay that he made before?
He will, I believe, still make the same pay as he had before. I think that was part of his deal of stepping down, was he would get to keep his AD supplement as a kind of a pay raise for his football success.
Yep, that's a good idea.
I think he'll be, to answer your question about who's in charge, I think he will remain in charge of the football program, and Coach Lindsay will kind of oversee the rest of the department.
The basketball and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you have to. The AD has to be present for a lot of activities for those sports. They have to have someone in administration at a lot of the events, and I think Coach Nelson was getting tired of having to attend every single event and be away from home and everything. So
let's just see how good you are. This past Friday night, Mary Persons played Spalding County or Griffin or what?
Spalding, yeah.
Who won?
MP probably won.
What was your prediction, Richard? I didn't even see it.
I don't remember what it was. I made it last week. 31-14, I think, was the score. I ended up picking, yeah.
You were close. You were close. You would tell you what it was?
What was it?
It was 31-28.
Oh, that's close.
Then that wasn't real close at all.
I'm thinking it's going to be a close game.
Yeah. But anyway, it's there's some interesting things happening in our school system.
I was really surprised that, you know, usually you don't hear about somebody in their 40s, rather young, giving up titles.
No,
but
that's wrong.
But I guess he'd rather have the – if he got the same pay, which I think was his concern, then why not? He doesn't have the responsibility.
Less responsibility, same pay, that's called a raise.
When Dan Pitts was here, was he the athletic director when he was the coach?
No, he was Co-Pitt.
Well, who was the athletic director?
Co-Pitt.
Did he report to himself?
Copet.
Who was his boss?
Not initially. He was not. He didn't start out the athletic director. To answer that question, I can't remember what year he became it, but I think sometime around the state championship season.
So, do you think this? How will this affect our athletic program at all, if at all?
Not at all, as far as what happens here. It may give Coach Nelson some more of an out to leave at some point, that he no longer has both jobs. But he says that he's more inclined to stay by not having the other job, is what he told me. He said that now he's making the pay of a coach AD and just being a football coach and has less responsibility. So he's all.
So should people expect
this move actually may be more targeted toward keeping Brian Nelson long term than the other way around?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Do you think that this people should expect more wins now that he could just focus on football?
Not this season.
That was a loaded question.
If they do, they're going to be disappointed.
That was a loaded
this year.
Question.
Maybe we should expect a little more out of the other department, other
sports,
because
they'll get the attention and love and support they need.
They won't be sharing as much with football as before. But well, Brian, if Brian hears that, he'll argue that he was doing that all along. But
so if your kid's not playing enough, you can who do you complain to now?
Nolan Howard.
It's another
complaining to Nolan Howard.
It's another voice to hear the complaints, I guess. A whole different person.
Priscilla Dawson.
Coach Lindsey's a pretty reasonable guy. I think he'll have take a good
Eva
discussion.
Eva Bilderback.
Yeah.
Stuart Pippen.
Your kid's not playing. What do you do? Oh, I go to a school board meeting.
No, you call the paper.
Call the paper.
Yeah.
My boy should be playing this position.
That's right. Why didn't my
I like boy- the sign that says, you know, at the fields, you'll see the – I think the rec department may have this sign. Let the coaches coach, let the referees ref, and you be the parent. You know. In other words
– That's dangerous. That is
– In other words, dangerous. Shut up. People are nuts about their sports. Remember, we've had a couple stories of people getting arrested at the rec department for rec.
Not family. Lately, though. Maybe the new rec director has been cracking down on some of that stuff.
Who is the new county rec director now?
Landon Sparks. He's been there a year now.
That's right. She's been there a year, hasn't she?
He has.
Yeah. I thought it was a she.
He has some assistants that are female, but he's the former Fellowship of Christian Athletes director in this area. So
I was talking to Keith Edge. He used to be Landon Sparks. He used to be the rec director, and he's very happily retreated to the county property assessment office. To the basement.
To the basement.
Where he could hide from all the angry parents.
Not anymore, though. Second floor now.
That's why they're on the second floor now. They used to be in the basement of the old post office.
You might see Keith nosing around your property trying to see if...
That's fine. Jim, come on. Tell him he's scared of Armando. Hey, this is something right now. Y'all will listen to this on Sunday morning. So now listen to it. There's a show going on tonight at the Fine Arts Auditorium.
Yes. Yes, there is.
If you're a teenager or if you've got kids that are teenagers, they get to go free to listen to this Gill fellow.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Brock Gill is an illusionist and a stunt artist, and I think he puts on a really good show. And he actually usually goes to big cities, but he was speaking to some friends from my church that were at a retreat, a summer camp.
Uh-huh.
And he said, hey, guys, I'm trying. He lives in Nashville.
He's Vince Gill's sixth cousin.
That's right. He goes to all these. Which means his sister-in-law is, what's her name? Who's Vince Gill married
Amy
to?
Grant.
Amy Grant.
Is a waitress.
Shut up.
Okay.
Anyway.
He's
going to be at the Fine Arts Center at 6 o'clock. And it's free to teenagers. Anyway, I hope we'll have a good crowd. I'll be there. I'm getting my son, trying to invite a lot of his friends, because his message is not just, hey, be entertained, but there's an inspiring truth behind the message.
That's right. I might have to stay home and watch the Braves, so I'll know enough to write this column that you want me to write about the
Braves. Yeah, maybe they'll sweat.
What kind of column does he want you to write?
He wanted me to do a preview of the postseason, but I was low on time and knowledge. Space.
Way to go,
space,
dude.
So.
Well, you know, my theory was there's a lot of people like me that don't really watch the Braves all season.
What you don't know
watch
is
who?
Atlanta Braves. We have a professional baseball team.
Atlanta's got a professional baseball yes. team.
They just moved from Milwaukee.
That would require me to have watched them to have any idea.
So I figure there's a lot of people like me that don't watch in the regular season, but during the playoffs will say, hey, let's check out the Braves. And so I wanted a...
I got burned out on the Braves because I was in Atlanta when the Braves came from Milwaukee and all the hoopla, and I had a lot of real good friends that worked for the Braves. And
my thought was
my youngest son Christopher was actually an usher at the Braves.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Richard Mike could do a Braves baseball for dummies and get us caught up who want to watch in the playoffs but don't know a thing.
I could have, but let's see if they get by the Cardinals first, and then we'll have a big dummy.
There's guys like me that think Dale Murphy's still playing right field.
He's
so.
Not.
He's a little slow, but
what about Hank Aaron? He's still back. Aaron doing
he's clean up. He bets right after Bob Warner.
No, kid.
I could name. It's funny how you remember Bruce Benedict. No, and every time he came up to bat, they said, boo. You know, it sounded like they were booing.
Who was the catcher before him?
Javier Lopez?
No.
In the 60s, you talking about?
70s.
Before Bruce Benedict.
Yeah. Oh, sheesh. Anyway,
I don't know. Del Crandall back in the 50s.
No, this was in the late 60s.
But as we tape this on Thursday, the Braves will open against the Cardinals tonight.
Tonight.
In Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
And
this afternoon, actually.
And what time?
Three straight day games. Games one, wow. Two, three.
At least it's not hot.
Three. Yeah, Atlanta's supposed to have record-breaking
temperature
this weekend.
So is it the best of five this first series?
Best of five, yes. Okay. So by Monday, they'll play four, and then I'll get you a column depending on how things go.
Okay. What to look for in the National League Division Series?
Well, they haven't made the LCS in 18 years, so that would be a big deal if they get by the
column. Wow.
That would be big.
What do we think now?
I actually went when they played the Diamondbacks when I was a senior in high school. I didn't know it was going to be like double a lifetime before they got back. But.
You thought this was just the first of many years.
They used to go every year in the 90s.
Yeah, that's true.
They went to 9 out of 11 or something like that.
So the Cardinals are pretty good, we think, though?
Yeah, they're good. It's going to be a close series.
Okay. Going to be tough, huh? But then I've heard Mark Bradley, some of the great sports minds of Atlanta, Richard Dumas. You may agree, may not, that the Braves can win it all.
Listen.
Silent. Total silence.
That for so many years.
No, I think they can get out of the NL. If they play the Astros or the Yankees, they would be decided favorites if they got out in the World Series.
Okay.
They could get to the World Series.
You know what?
So the NL is better than the AL this year?
No, the AL is better than the NL. So if they get to the World Series, there's two AL teams decidedly better than they are.
Okay.
But if they get upset,
so they're in the playoffs now, right? Is that what you're saying?
The playoffs start today. Yes.
Were you on your phone, Don?
The playoffs start today.
So confused.
They're down to eight teams, and there's a best of five to make it four.
Okay, and you think Atlanta's going to be in there?
I think getting through the first series is going to be
So there's four teams left in the NL.
Yes, okay. They beat the Cardinals. I think if they get by St. Louis, if they get by St. Louis, then they can beat L.A.
They play the winner of L.A. and Houston?
No, L.A. and Washington.
Houston's in the AL?
Yeah, they moved about 15 years ago.
That's exactly when I quit watching baseball.
Well, they won the World Series 2 years ago as the AL team. They played the Dodgers in the World Series.
Richard's so good. He's like an encyclopedia.
He is, and when it comes to sports, man.
I'm going to start calling him Google.
I am with baseball.
Just call him Dude. Baseball. Dude,
I'm gonna do miss that.
Well, you know, we had some excitement the other day, right? Your press time, a World War II era landmine
found at the golf course.
But you know what it was? It was a practice mine. It wasn't a real one.
Well, that's why I put it.
I know. But let me tell you the story let me tell you what happened.
Okay.
What's located right next to the golf?
The National Guard Armory.
And you know what? Somebody probably left one out there and forgot to take it up when they were practicing, and the town went into panic mode.
Well, they went up to the golf guy that found it. He went over to the guard and knocked on the door and said, "Hey, is this yours?" And they said, "No." My thought was probably with the drought, there's probably erosion. It probably just came up. It was probably unearthed. It probably was. And the guy said, my source, who's Ashton Roman Anonymous, said no, it was clean, there was no dirt. Somebody set it there, and that's what worries him. Somebody went out there and set it up, left it.
Isn't it amazing how we like to blame other people? I said that.
Do you have a theory?
Yeah.
You think it was just
the National Guard used to meet out there all the time. They would have practice drills and train, and they had a mine, and they left it out there, and the weeds covered it up, and it was in the dirt, and they forgot where they put it.
I feel like as many people hit golf balls all over the place, though, somebody should have rummaged across that at some point.
Well, that's what this guy, he's saying somebody set it there recently. Yeah. Maybe somebody found it in the grass and said, "I'm going to leave this here. I don't know what this is. I'm going to leave it right here."
No kidding.
Something like that.
But
I thought it was funny to quote my source at the golf course said, he said, "Yeah, they exploded something to make it explode. You know, they put it next to something and blew it up." And he said, "I was kind of disappointed. It was not much of a boom."
I read that. Did they use one of those things you shoot?
M80s?
No.
Fireworks?
No. You can buy them.
Tannerite?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And shoot.
I wonder. Might have.
Well, we had one of those. We blew a lot of those stuff at my house.
I watched them shoot one up in the Captain D's parking lot.
I remember that, yeah.
That was entertaining.
I remember they had a robot, right?
Yeah, the robot walked over to it, picked it up, and moved it around.
Tannerite is good. We blew up some trees.
Don, you remember back in, and I mentioned, Tom mentioned this last week, on 9/11, okay. You remember, I wasn't here, Richard wasn't in Forsyth at the time, but we had a scare right after 9/11 at the post office.
with some white powder that was found there. Do you remember that?
Vaguely remember that.
Did they ever catch anybody doing that?
No. Okay. Well, by the way, don't y'all forget, you got your tax notices. They're due in December.
Yeah, you mentioned that in your column.
Yeah, I sure did.
And by the way, there's no excuse.
I wanted the lady who's been working at Captain D's, thank you for putting her picture.
Wasn't that good?
I'm glad you mentioned it.
How did you find that out? Did you go to Captain D's one day?
They got the best fish sandwich going.
Yeah.
I went down there. I've known her for a long time. And I was like, I can't remember her first name. Wanda Lucia.
Linda.
I said, Linda, how long have you been working here? She said, I was here the day they opened the door.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. And, you know, you just don't find employees like that anymore.
I can't imagine, someone working for 30 years at a fast food restaurant. That's just great loyalty. I followed up on your call. Right. And I said, what have you noticed? What has changed in the last 30 years? And she said, what you would probably say, and a lot of people say, young people don't want to work.
No. They don't want to work. No.
How are we going to fix that?
Well, I've done a lot of thinking about that because of some situations I've been involved in. And I have come to the conclusion that parents just don't teach their kids the way I was taught.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to go there on the bottom line.
Okay.
We blame the kids for a lot that's going on because there's a lot of peer pressure. Now, I'm on one of your tangents. You can call this a WD tangent. I just think kids share some responsibility, but the problem is parents.
Yeah.
All
goes back to the family. What's happening
exactly
under the roof.
Right. That's exactly right.
Here.
And just the other night, I was at a restaurant, and I saw this again. It just twerks me. A family of four sitting at the table. All four were on their damn cell phone.
Not talking to each other.
Yeah.
Well, we don't do that here. That's why this newspaper, we create community.
Oh, I agree with you.
We create community, and the community comes from relationships, and relationships come from paying attention to each other.
That's right. So pay attention to me when I say that Bowling Boat Santa's Workshop needs some care.
Yeah, I was glad Vicky brought that out. It does.
Who owns it? I haven't read the story yet. Who owns it?
The Bowling Brook Community Club, I believe.
No, the county. They leased it to.
Oh, the county owns it.
That's right. That was a discussion
last week.
Yeah, that's right.
They leased it for $1 for the community club to work on the repairs. And Johnny Ambrose won $5,000 to do that.
All right. Good. I'm glad they're going to fix it up. Another thing that needs working, but there's an old Methodist church in Bolingbroke that's kind of in disrepair, and I hope they can help get that back up to speed as well.
You need to get you a Culloden columnist.
Yeah. You got an idea?
Yeah. The city manager.
Yeah, she might be good. Or Lillian Davis, the lady who's on our committee. Wow, it got quiet.
Yes.
She has lots of opinions. Anyway, so Monroe County Schools opened a new ag center, Don. And
I'm sorry I missed that.
This was something that, was passed a good long while ago, and it just shows you your tax dollars do actually wind up going to something productive.
Well, what happened to the hog parlor at the recreation center?
It's to be determined.
We can't have a ribbon cutting on it yet.
It's only been 10 years.
Okay.
You want to go see a darn hurry. Those hogs are...
But this new ag center, what are they teaching in the ag center?
Well, Bill Waldrop is our FFA leader, great guy and cattle farmer.
His daddy used to own the Gulf service station where Cunningham's Realty is. Waldrop.
And his daddy's not the Waldrop that used to deliver newspapers for us. His uncle, I think, or something.
No.
Waldrop used to own the feed store, I believe. But,
okay.
Jimmy?
Yes, Jimmy.
Okay, there you go. Anyway, the new Ag Center is open, and they're going to teach kids how to raise lambs, how to be responsible, how to be productive, and I think it's great. And so,
they're going to learn how to plant crops?
I think it's mostly livestock.
Is it mostly livestock?
Mm-hmm. And it's nestled in there right between T.G. Scott and Monroe County Middle School.
I rode by there the other day. It's neat.
It's on the other side of T.G. Scott, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's toward
the... I walked to it from the middle school.
Toward my...
I think we decided that it was on the other
that's
side.
That's right. I was in the same mistaken notion that she was.
But, I think you ought to get a Culloden correspondent.
Okay. Well, hey, if you're listening to this show and you live in Culloden and you like to write,
yeah,
give me a ring.
That's right.
We have a new columnist this week, speaking of that. Bill Weaver, former Macon Telegraph editor, and glad to have him on board. Bill's a good guy. He's going to write, I like this, he's going to write about Monroe County.
He said,
not necessarily be my political opinions, but you get enough of that from Sloan and the rest, and Don's a little shy. He doesn't always like to share his opinions, but you know, we're coaxing it out of him.
Just another columnist. Geez, man.
And other news, Richard, we talked about the Spalding game a little bit. Tell.
We already won. We don't need to talk about
that. That's true. Good point. I forgot that.
It was a victory.
All right, let's turn to page 6, and I want to tell our readers that they can nominate a businesswoman of the year. You know, Forsyth has become a sort of a nurturing ground, a what do you call it? A nursery.
Female-owned business capital of Georgia.
Yeah. I mean, downtown, and you'll see more about this in our magazine.
Per capita.
We got a magazine coming out in a couple of weeks, hopefully, and you will find that we're going to feature some of the business women-owned businesses in town. But we want to know which one you think should be the businesswoman of the year, and you have until October the 23rd to submit a nomination.
Well, look, you know, you got to look at it another way, too, now. Okay, well, you're talking about the businesswoman. Look at the courthouse. Who's elected at the courthouse? Females.
Yeah.
Look who runs the county commission office.
Right.
Females. You got a lot of females in very high muckety-muck positions.
You're exactly right. So. In other news, in this week's edition, you know, hunting season starts. Don, are you going to try to get in a deer stand this fall? Deer season starts in a couple weeks, and our old Terry Johnson sort of.
Go back and ask that original question.
Yeah, do you hunt deer anymore? Or are you
no,
pretty much
I done? Do not hunt deer anymore.
I used to.
I used to just sit on my front porch or the back porch.
And you felt bad? It was too easy?
I know, you know, my sons and a couple of my grandsons, deer season is, you know, is the epitome. It's better than Christmas. You know, it's better than Easter. But they always... And we go down at the farm. We've got plots planted for deer. And one of the biggest deer is killed in Washington County. It was killed right there on our farm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, I used to enjoy hunting. And I grew up with my grandfather and my uncle taking me hunting all the time. You know, hunting and fishing. But I guess the older that I've gotten, I just... don't particularly care about it anymore.
Yeah, I know. I've never been a big hunt, but I think this year, you know, we moved to the country and we see a lot of deer on our property, and I think I'm going to get me one just to say I shot one.
Yeah, that's
still 114 in mid-October, they're going to push the date back.
You don't want to kill one right now.
Now, we had a...
ticks and everything else.
We have a picture on page 2C this week that I think probably should have been on the front page, because this is something that's been talked about for years and years. And now we have photographic evidence that work has begun on what the Development Authority called Project Super Chicken.
Is that what they call it?
Yes. Because they love the secret code names.
They're working. They're working strong over there.
And the city's approved something that might be of interest to people.
Solar?
No. They should have. That's what they should have applied for, a solar sign.
That's right. Yeah, that would be cool. So what? But the sign's going up.
It'd be a 90-foot sign over the interstate, which was
that's fantastic.
Well, here's
but
a question
you know
for
what?
You.
According to Forsyth City Councilman, I'm not even going to call his name. That sign's going to get tore down.
Yeah, it's great, Chris.
Sign's going to get tore down all the way, man.
Yeah,
it's far enough away. We don't have to have the restaurant to keep the sign.
That's right, man. Keep the sign. Tear down the restaurant.
Here's your question. Here's the question of the day. Do you know, how tall does the city allow signs to be on the interstate?
As tall as you want to put them up.
Apparently. But what does the ordinance say?
I don't know
they wave. 60 feet is the max.
But we're going 90 feet?
Mm-hmm. Huh?
We're going 90 feet on this one?
Yeah, we're going 60. Yeah, they're going over.
Wow. Hey, if they already approved the 90-foot sign?
Yeah, that was the story.
Yes.
Hey, what's your name? So, why?
You're at a loss for words.
I'm a little. They've got me in a quandary here. You know, for size city councils, yes, we do. No, we don't. You know, that's that kind of business. So, but I think it's great. Another thing to open up to you, and let me tell you something. What I did, I went to the new Chevrolet place.
Yeah, doesn't it look nice?
Yeah, it looks really good.
We're going to have a story on that in the magazine as well.
They didn't give me the deal that I wanted, so.
You had to walk away?
Yeah, I had to walk away.
The guy that hit, this is kind of amusing to me. Richard's got a good story about the sentences. We had some legal sentences. And, you know, if you're going to run from the police and run into something, it might be advisable not to hit a Superior Court judge's grandfather's grave.
No,
but
that Mr. was not cool.
Mr. Jones, you'll read on page 8C this week. No, I'm sure he wasn't aiming for it, but it was just the luck of the draw.
Probably did. Give the man some credit.
Robert Jones will spend 6 years in prison, but let's not say he got unfair justice because Richard, I don't think it was his first rodeo with the law.
No, I don't think so either. And he really ran away for what, something pretty minor, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, they just saw him without a taillight, maybe.
But he had a license issue.
What kind of damage did they have to this? Marshall's older than Forsyth as far as the. This grave. What did the damage did they do, Richard? Could you tell? It looks like the base is pretty.
It looks like he hit around.
Looks like Byron Smith's. Most of his statue stayed intact. But I'm sure that I'm sure Judge Smith appreciated whichever judge was in this case throwing the book at him for hitting his granddaddy's graveyard. But well, folks, I've got to run. I've got to go take care of some business. So we're going to end it a little early. Our apologies to Mike.
Mike, Magic 100. We're giving you some space to sell some advertising, Mike. So
but,
go for it, Mike.
Also, one more thing. Richard Dumas has an update on the county fire headquarters. Richard,
we'll be here about the time Zaxby's open.
Okay. Yeah, you've heard it here first, folks. Richard's got pictures of the inside that looks like actually a pretty nice little facility.
It's going to be nice.
Yeah.
They let me walk around it.
What do you think was the key to getting this thing forward? Was it taking Larry Evans off the project?
Oh, heck yeah.
Well, having somebody over there full time, probably having Billy Cox and Philip English monitoring things, probably played a role in
that. All right. Well, progress happening everywhere.
There's a behind the scenes story on that, by the way. It's not
public. You'll have to read on the outside looking in to get.
I'm afraid.
You've sworn to secrecy. Okay.
All right.
Have a good one, everybody. Thanks for joining us on The Reporter on the Air.